The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Bishop Mary. I'm here with my guest co-host, my brother Marcus. And we say good morning to you all. We hope that you're traveling safely. And if you're listening, stay tuned. We have a fabulous show with wonderful guests. Our first is already here, and we're excited to hear from her. And then, of course, we have a second group coming on. So for the next 57 minutes, stay tuned to the Bishop Mary Show here live in living color in the studio with WWDB 860 AM. We're going to begin with this message.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Coming, and that is one of my favorite songs. And I know with our first guest, she's been holding on and not letting go. And we are excited to have back again here live on the Bishop Mary Show, none other than my state rep. Yeah, she's mine, because she represent me in her district, the 198th district. State Representative Teresha Parker. Good morning, baby. How you doing?
Hi, good morning to everyone. It's great to be above ground, to be seen, both of you. I'm always cheerful and always hopeful that individuals like yourself always feel it honored to acknowledge that I am your state rep. I know sometimes I do get in trouble. I do drop a couple of choice words. I've gotten better. I've done a lot better. I've pulled it on. I try to look at other things to think about to push me in a better positive direction. And at the end of the day, individuals may not be aware, but we are in fourth quarter, ladies and gents. And fourth quarter is where we are. Things are about to occur. We're doing some life-changing things. And when we're doing life-changing things, that means life-changing is happening because there is an election. And every 6 months, just to remind everybody, every 6 months, there is something special that occurs. And I always share with everybody, you could do it in your pajamas. So you don't have to have your face beat like mine, because I knew I was going to be with my sister. I didn't want to scare her. I wanted to let her know that when individuals like you take time out of your schedule to do things for individuals like myself, I felt it was best to be on camera versus not. So I just wanted to say thank you to you. Thank you for this platform, for talking to me on Menstrual Monday.
Oh, I like that, because she is the crafter, originator, let's call it the progenitor of a really sensitive subject men would not know about. No disrespect, Brother Marcus. Amen. But it is for the ladies. Amen. And she has been working really, really hard on what we label as period poverty. And so would you mind, Representative, talking about what that means? Because some people still don't understand how period and poverty are in the same phrase.
Absolutely. And individuals may be aware that I'm letting everybody know that we have eliminated the word poverty and we're talking about menstrual equity. I just wanted to do things just a little bit different when we're talking about it. Why? Because it's an expensive thing that we should no longer talk about what we can't afford, and we shouldn't say can't, but we're going to make sure we're raising up with a piece of positive as what we can afford. And that is going to be one of my long range goals, as I also talk about and raise up something that Senator Casey has, and I ask you to get him on to talk about his pink tax legislation as our state senator. Listen, we have individuals who miss work. We have young ladies who miss school because they do not have access. They sadly use paper towels. They use socks, and they use newspaper for something that is natural once a month, which is unsanitary, and it is unheard of, and we cannot allow that to continue to happen. So when you're looking at me on this platform, I am unapologetic about what I did. I'm unapologetic, and I will do it again. For well over a year and a half, this legislator carried a box of tampons over to our Senate. I left them on her desk with a photo ID of myself because I wanted her to know this was serious. I left her this business card so she knew it was me. I didn't want an email trail. I wanted you to know in person it was me. And when that woman shared, and what I love what people like her do, I called them receipts. When her executive director said, indefinitely, we will not meet with Representative Parker. Oh, why did you say indefinitely you will not meet? I took a copy of that receipt. I shared it with every woman, every Jew I possibly knew, every person in leadership, and said, well, look, guess what? Guess where we are? I went out, bought me some more army fatigue because I let everybody know we are at war. And I took it personal because as a seated legislator, regardless of your party affiliation, for you to share that you would not meet with another colleague who eventually you need for a vote, that was just unacceptable in my eyes. So I said, well, I got to do something boldly. I have to do something that maybe was really out of my comfort zone. So I just said, you know what? I wasn't getting the same result. Mm-hmm. Walking over there, dropping off my business card, and dropping off a box of tampons, I wasn't getting results. I said, well, let me take it up a notch. So then I incorporated Menstrual Monday, Tampon Tuesday, Thank God for Tampon Thursday, and Flow Friday. And I used a video of me walking from the House over to the Senate. It got so much traction that you had the male colleagues talking about how, here she goes, what day of the week is it? Up is Monday. There go Rep. Parker. Literally was walking over there with the box of tampons. And you know me, I'm not done. It also made waves because why the lobbyist was said, good grief, this woman's taking thousands out of our retainers. So she's doing the work herself. Well, I always give you a chance. Once I ask you and you're giving you the same intel that I had, then I said, well, I got to take it up a notch even more. So then I started calling the Senate Majority Leader's office said, hey, what we doing, I was relentless. I even was calling Senator Brooks on her birthday, sending her Bible verses. I did everything you could possibly imagine. It was like, how did she even know it's her birthday? It's my job to know what's going on. To the point that my name was in leadership meeting from the House and the Senate, to the point that the Majority Leader Pittman said, whatever Representative Farkle wants with the tampons, please just get it done. Because she is wearing everybody out. I sure did. So I had hand delivered a letter to every member of the committee, Democrat and Republican, asking for their overwhelming support. Shout out and prayers to Senator Haywood, who was the majority leader of, who was the minority leader of this committee, along with Senator Brooks. Listen, I followed his team. I did not let up. Senator Hughes, every person who I knew from the Philadelphia delegation that was a senator received text messages from me 5 a.m. If I just woke up at 4, they got a text message. If I went to the bathroom at 3 a.m, they got a text message. Everybody was in a text message every time I knew they was in the Senate, because I was not going to let this go. Fast forward, when it gets down to the wire, when people don't realize what happens, it gets down to the time when I call everybody. This is negotiation time. What's negotiation time? Because we're talking about budget. And interesting enough, Senator Brooks had a bill. I'm over to the House. I made sure I was the last member on the floor, and I was a red X no. So that resonated all to the Senate and all to my leadership. I said, listen, I know this is my first time doing something this way, but I'm letting you know again, if her name comes across to the House, I will be another no until she moves my bill. Mm-hmm. She had another bill that she was working on.
All right.
I told leadership, I am a red no. She literally had less than 48 hours. She had a committee meeting. The word came back that, please, it came in writing, we do not need Representative Parker to come over to the Senate to speak on this bill. Selah, that bill got moved out of committee, and then the rest is history. So I'm just sharing with everybody, when you stay firm, when you stay steadfast, when you stay prayed up, when you stay focused and you do not sway, regardless of what anybody else pushes you, you cannot imagine. Are you sure you want to go this hard, Brett Parker? Are you sure you want to do this? Listen, we were in the presence of that rally when Vice President Kamala Harris and Biden was in Philly when we were all at Girard College. Hey, you had members questioning if I had tampons on me. You know I did. Because if she was in my face, I was surely going to let her know about my legislation. So guess what? I didn't give up my chance to see her. But look at God and look where I'm going now. So I just tell everybody, when things are in front of you and somebody says no, I just said it's your job to make them turn around and make him say yes. And the person who said yes was the man up above. The man up above just told me, stay fast, stay belligerent, do not sweat. Don't get discouraged. Don't stop. And the best thing that he did during this whole process for a year and a half, I did not lose my voice. So I made sure that I had a voice. I used the voice on the airwaves. I used the voice on social media. We made sure we wrote op-eds. I was going to the churches. I went to any organization to make sure that we talked about it. And look where we are right now. House Bill A50 is in our Senate appropriations, which is for us is almost the finish line before it comes over to the House. I have reached out to Senate Majority Leader Martin. He has not met me, but he will meet me next week if I check the Senate schedule, and he is in Harrisburg. He will meet Rep. Parker, because this is how we move. And I will also give a courtesy to Senator Hughes, letting him know, you know I'm back, you know where we are, and this is what we do. And Senate House Bill A51 is in our Senate is in a Senate appropriations. You already know the rule, you know the script, you know the line. I will be over there meeting with them as well. So listen, I'm sharing with everybody, why am I speeding it up? Why is this process? Well, we have a shorter session this year. We are finished the list literally the second week in November, and we don't come back until January. So one of the investments that Rep. Parker is doing, and you have heard it first, normally I don't say this, but I'm saying that I gotta invest in one of the best pair of sneakers out there. If they was buying your advertisement, guess what? I would shout them out. But since they're not, I'm not shouting them out. They don't get a free plug today. So literally, I'm investing in those sneakers. I made a decision. I gotta get myself in shape. So I gotta start riding my bike, doing some walking, because this is gonna be the sprint that I need to get it over this hurdle for this last part, because I need these wins for not about me. It's about all of the other people. We need these wins, and we need them big. And that's why I'm going to make sure that I invest in some great sneakers. And the other ones, Bishop and your guest, I wore them other pairs out. I need some other support sneakers, because they are worn out. I know. For the woman who's running, talk about the pearls and Converses. Man, my Converse look like a verse because they are just worn out. So I need to get some Nike, any kind of other pair of support, because this is what we're talking about. And I always have to bring humor into a very sensitive subject that we're talking about. So why am I sharing with that with you? Because we now have our governor. He talked about it in tandem, because his wife was supposed to have a 20-minute visit with the nation's only menstrual hub, Lynette Medley, which is the spot in Germantown. It ended up turning 4 hours, and boy, nothing about pillow talk, honey, because why do I say pillow talk? Because we were able to sign into law $3 million that went across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for menstrual products in schools. So does that mean I'm done? No. That's why I have to change the script, send the information out, and organizations will start getting their marching orders on Tuesday. I know a lot of people are so ready to do things on Tuesday. Well, guess what? On Tampon Tuesday, folks will be getting a script of who are the individuals we need to call, who do we need to put the pressure on to say, guess what? We did this first round. We need you on this round so that we can raise up the awareness and let you know we are not done. Because when it does come over to the House, I've already started our conversation with our U.S. Senator, Senator Casey's, and Senator Fetterman's office and our Congress, because why? I'm going to need them for these waivers for assistance for the products, the feminine products, along with Pampers for hospital age 50. So some people say, you got to get ready. No, I'll stay ready. And that's why I've already started having these conversations. And look at God is why I'm going to the White House today. So I just wanted to give people a snapshot when they see Representative Parker with a big tote bag. You never know what's going to be in a tote bag. It may be pants, it may be pads, it may be a box of tampons, or it may be Pampers. Because any given moment, I need to be ready to... I don't want to embarrass y'all today, because, you know, I know I sent a couple of text messages to leadership. I know in the back of their mind, they're like, please, I hope she does not have a box of tampons on her going to the White House. I pray. Well, I know it's not going to get through security, so that's why they're leaving home. But, you know, I have stopped if I need it. So I'm just saying it to everybody that, listen, I stay ready for you guys. I'm always fighting for you on this very, very sensitive subject. And I look forward to making it over the finish line. And guess what? For some people may think, because I did get several emails and phone calls, why are you only doing things for women? You know, we have a need too as far as men. And you're absolutely right. So Representative Parker is making, we're doing a men's only talking session tomorrow at the Oak Lane Library at 5 to 7 p.m. And it's a men's talk. Rep. Parker's just going to come in and sing greetings, and then I'm out, and then it's on to the men. And the reason why I said that is because I know I am an African-American woman. I know I'm a woman, and people hear me talk about women's issues, but I also will tell anybody, out of 203, the 198th district, which represents parts of East and West Oak Lane, parts of Alleyne, Knightstown, Logan, and Germantown, I am the fifth blackest district out of 203 people. So guess what that means? That means I need to start talking about issues that affect black people. Don't get upset and don't start, you know,
being all in your feelings. Oh, why is she always talking about black issues? Because I'm a black daggone legislator, and this is what you're supposed to be. We need to start talking about economics, really getting us out and make sure we take that piece of poverty to prosperity. There is nothing wrong for us educating and getting our army that's coming behind us to really embrace and understand what it's talking about wealth, and we're talking about generational wealth, and we're talking about health and livelihood. And I need to start putting that into an action word as far as legislation. And the best way to do that is making sure that we educate a nation, and then we got to raise those numbers so we can educate what we're talking about in Philadelphia so that our numbers can look like Maryland. Maryland is number two as it relates in the country, as it relates to education, and they're number three as the wealthiest. So for me, we need to get in on those numbers. And when I know, I can start seeing those type of digits for the P in Pennsylvania or P for Philadelphia. I know as a legislator that I've done my job and I can head off into retirement. Job well done. But until then, I'm going to keep fighting. I ain't retiring right now. I just need y'all calm down. I'm not doing it. We still got more work to do. And I just wanted to just share that with you.
Well, we so appreciate you coming on today. I don't have any questions. I think you hit everything. Everything. I mean, and it's a pleasure to meet you. It's my first time actually being able to meet you. And we just want to say thank you for, you know, letting folks know what you stand for, your passion, and how you're not making it about yourself. You're making it about other people. And that's what we can see and feel. So thank you once again for being a part of the Bishop Mary Show this morning. Representative, state representative, Jerisha Parker. We totally respect you.
Jerisha, you can let us know you're headed to the White House and you're having an important meeting. And so what are your goals and outcomes of that as we wrap up our time?
Say that part again. You broke up.
Say your meeting with the White House. What is your objective and goals, expected outcomes from this meeting?
The main thing is a lot of times menstrual is not talked about. It's not talked about. It's overshadowed by other things because a lot of people are talking about Black maternal health. And now recently you have Holly Berry talking about menopause. So for me, I need to make sure that everybody knows May is Menstrual Health Awareness Month. And we need to make sure that we never are in a situation that an individual can't afford it. So I'm going to share with them where we are with my legislation as it relates to Pennsylvania and talk about how we can rise up and make sure it's accessible. Listen, $3 million was great. It's our first time doing this rollout. But we know we're going to need a lot more because we don't want any chance, anytime, anybody to ever not have money to afford these products. So I am looking forward to having a celebration in May at the White House for other women and other women providers to raise up and let's hold our tampons and flags. Listen, that younger generation that we're talking about, they walk to the bathroom and hold it in their hand while I am not that powerful. Guess what? I'm still saying it at the age of 52. That's a whole other issue. And one of the things that I talked about, but one of the things I hope we, depending on where this goes, one of the best Black GYNs retired, Dr. Witt. So now that vacuum is gone, where do Black women go for the best health, for your best, you know, I have one now. I'm seeking another provider because of the fact that, listen, we need a person who's going to be sensitive to our needs because there's so many challenges in our community. And that's what I'm raising awareness about. I'm glad that Lynette is going with me. And guess what? You're part of the 9-9 family. It's nothing like riding with a divine 9 sister.
I know that's a member
of my mom's sorority, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And she is the writer of all of my pieces of legislation. And I'm very excited that if I am sitting down with the administration, they will extremely be happy because the letter is in pink. So I just feel like today is just a win-win for all, win-win for women. And sometimes when you say closed mouths don't get fed, but I'm going to make sure that not just Pennsylvanians, but people across this country eat and know that a person like me with a conversation that I just had with you, it's finally doing what I said I'm going to do as your legislator. to fight.
I'm so proud of you. I'm glad that you're my legislator. You always represent well. You talked about you have gotten better. No, girl, you're still fighting. You're tenacious and you don't stop. And relentless is the word for you. So we are praying traveling mercies for you on your way to Washington. Mm-hmm. We are believing that they will hear you and that it will bring national and international awareness because of something like this that we often do, particularly during a season where women's rights and how we are treated and our choices are being threatened in our democracy. So I'm proud of you, girl. You and Miss Lynette have a safe trip, and we're looking forward to hearing back from you sometime soon about an outcome. And everybody, tune in to House Bill 850, Senate House Bill 851. Call them, get on their nerves, wear them out, and tell them Rep. Parker sent you. That'll just only help the message even the more. We love you. Thanks so much.
God bless you.
Absolutely.
I love y'all. Thank you.
Love you. Have a great day. God bless you. That was State Representative Doresha Parker, who is on her way to Washington to meet with the White House on this very sensitive issue for Black women, women in total. And so we want to keep on doing what we're doing. Well, we're up next with our next set of guests, and we need you to stay tuned right here on The Bishop Mary Show.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Bishop Mary Show. I have my guest co-host, Brother Marcus. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Bishop Mary.
And we're excited to be here today. And of course, we're now going to hear from one hot pink topic to another hot topic.
Hot like grits.
Watch it now. You know it's about to be on. And we have with us our guests who are going to be talking to us about Project 2025. There is a meeting that will be happening this evening, and we'll hit that toward the end of the interview. But right now, I want to welcome Reverend Gregory Holston and Dr. Michelle Taylor. Good morning to the both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's wonderful to see both of you.
I'm still waking up. So.
Girl, it's all right. I said first order of business. And you know, he came here and bought Dunkin' Donuts. and only for himself.
Well, I'm just paying her back from last week. She had it and I didn't. So tit for tat. But anyway, let's get back to y'all.
That's all right. Y'all gonna eat in front of us like that. That's okay.
Well, we're so grateful that you're here. And we thank you so much. I got a text message from from Reverend Holston. And immediately I responded and said, oh, no, you have to come on to first of all, enlighten us about this topic and the real need for discussion around it, particularly Project 2025. So if you both wouldn't mind taking turns giving us a brief synopsis about who you are, a little bit of background for about a minute apiece each, we're going to hit off with some questions.
Yes.
In particular, because everybody in inquiring minds still confused about Project 2025.
And let's start off with ladies first.
good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Michelle Taylor. I am a professor currently at Rutgers University. I teach about culture and gender and things like that. I'm also a community activist, a retired social worker, and I do a lot of work around educating people about what's going on in our communities, in our country, politics, things like that. And I'm very happy to be here to discuss this today.
Thank you so much.
And I'm Reverend Gregory Holston, a racial and social justice advocate in the city here, and a pastor who pastored about 25 years in the city and really involved in this issue. And I just think this is such an important issue. Glad to represent a coalition that's come together, a coalition to defend democracy of groups in the city who are really concerned that this election, more than any other election, democracy is on the ballot.
Mm. Wow.
So, all right, let me ask Doctor, I'll go with you first. Pastor, we'll get back to you in a second. Doctor, so what is your thought behind this whole 2025 situation? Like, what is it that you feel the public doesn't know that you have, you know, information about that you want to share with us?
Well, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that this book was published in April of 2023. So it's not anything that recently dropped this summer and kind of sent people into a tailspin. It's been around for a while. But also that the Heritage Foundation, which is the think tank behind this mandate for leadership, this handbook, so to speak, has been, you know, influencing American politics for at least 40 years. So they're not new to this, right? They've been doing this for a long time. Our lack of awareness about that is, you know, something that we'll probably talk more about. But yeah, they've been here and they've been doing this. And we, a lot of us are just now becoming aware.
So there's going
to
be.
And just to piggyback on that, if I could, just to piggyback on
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. I literally was going to school 40 years ago in Washington, D.C., living on Capitol Hill, barely making it, surviving, but I was going to grad school. And I would walk past this building every day. I was going to school called the Heritage Foundation. One day I went into the foundation to see what it was. It had flyers there that said, let's end Social Security. Let's end Medicare, Medicaid. Let's get rid of the civil rights laws because they all violate the Constitution. They were saying this stuff 40 years ago, trying to create an environment for it, trying to recruit young people. It was an organization that they were involved with called Young Americans for Freedom, where they were trying to recruit young people so they would carry this banner forward. And one of those young people that they recruited back then is Justice Roberts on the Supreme Court today. So this is a long-standing fight for these folk who are using Trump as a tool to push an agenda that is against everything we fought for in the last century.
Wow. Because I was going to say that in the debate that recently happened here in Philadelphia, he was asked about Project 2025. He says he does not know about it. He hasn't read about it. He's not affiliated with it. And if it has some good parts or it doesn't, you know, he'll decide that should he become president. What are the dangers? And I heard you mention a few of them. But in particular, if this were to be implemented, how would this affect the lower class, the middle class, not necessarily the upper class, but people as a whole if these plans are implemented?
Doctor?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I can point out, since you mentioned class, is their idea to shift overtime pay from being weekly 40 plus hours to 160 hours plus in total. So Ooh. If you were to work 60 hours in a week, you wouldn't get the 20 hours of overtime. You don't start getting overtime until after 160 hours of work, right? And so that hurts a lot wow. of families, like right in the moment. You know, mm-hmm. you want to make that extra money for Christmas or, you know, Thanksgiving or what have you, pick up extra shifts. You know, you would lose out on that, right? Another thing that comes up is they want to get rid of Head Start. And we know that Head Start programming definitely helps people in, you know, urban areas, but mostly it helps people in rural areas, which is really interesting that they want to harm their own people for that. But Head Start has been responsible for providing healthy, safe childcare for so many of, you know, us. I understand what that's all about. So it's things like this that if when you comb through and you're like, oh, this will have a direct impact on our communities for sure.
Wow. And Pastor, how about you? Like what are some of the things that you're putting in place to say, listen, I got to inform, you know, not just my people, but all people to be aware of what's happening. What are some of the things that you're putting in place to bring awareness?
Well, certainly this forum that we're doing today, Monday, 6:30 at the Philadelphia Masjid with Professor Taylor here and other people who are experts in this, who are going to talk about it from a variety of different perspectives. Yeah, the kind of forums we want to do across the city to really inform people about how democracy itself and all of these issues are really on the ballot this time around. So how is democracy so directly affected? Everybody remembers January 6th, and they know what happened on January 6th, where a mob tried to stop the official certification of that presidential election, led by, encouraged by Donald Trump. But we don't really understand how close that was to an actual coup. We don't really understand that he was trying to get all of the generals lined up. He had spent about 3 weeks trying to get all of the generals lined up to get the military lined up with him so he could declare martial law and have the military support him. And literally many generals there and many civil service people who simply have made a pledge to defend the Constitution told him no. And many of them immediately resigned from their positions because they said, no, and we are not going to let you do that. Well, this time around, he wants to specifically, is in Project 2025, get rid of those civil service requirements, put his loyalists in place, wow. which they literally have been recruiting for the last 4 years, tens of thousands of loyalists who he will put in place in this position so that when he tells you, and he tells you this, I want to be a dictator on day one. When he tells you, and he told you straight this, that that in fact, you won't have to worry about elections after this. You won't have to vote anymore.
Wow.
He is saying that because he has a plan in place to declare martial law and have an infrastructure in place that will support that declaration. So that's all within Project 2025, not as specific, but if you read through it, you can see how all of that comes together. And so we're really seriously, when we're talking about democracy being on the line, you can't have all of the things that we're talking about, all the education, all the funding, all the things that we're talking about that government does if you have a dictator in place who won't do any of it. Mm.
In the course of this, there is the question about the lack of information. And you said, you know, you walked by the building for 40 years and then, you know, you were down in Washington, you went in and you saw it. And to think that it's been kind of underground for this and now starting to surge up, in particular during 2023. And some people still say, what has it got to do with us? Why is it 2025? I mean, why did he come up with that particular year, which is next year? And ironically, because of our elections, that's the year that our commander-in-chief, when elected, will be sworn in. So how does, when we're talking partisan partisan politics. And of course, you know, that's always a very thin line. But if it's not, if the winner of the commander-in-chief who seems to be embracing its ideologies are not returned to serve that role, how can it still continue to impact us as a people?
Doctor?
Well, you know, so I have a slightly different take on this. So this is a think tank, and they advise presidents and you know, the leadership, right? So they help them figure out and shape their policies. Mm. What happened in 2016 when Donald Trump went in office is that he was kind of reckless, right? He left half of his administrative positions vacant. He didn't really do a whole lot in terms of like enacting plans other than, you know, we have the Supreme Court decision and what have you. And I think what Project 2025 is about is making sure that the president, because they always say conservative leadership, right? Whether it's Donald Trump or anyone else, they want to make sure that their plans are actually being implemented. And so this is a guidebook. I want people to read this as a handbook. It's a playbook. Mm. Democratic Party also has a playbook, right? And that's how political strategies are developed and how they figure out how they want to run the country. This is a mandate for conservative leadership. So people have to understand that they're more aggressive now because they can see that Donald Trump is the front runner and they don't want a repeat of 2016 to 2020, you know, around the time when he was last there, because they're like, oh, we didn't get as much done as we wanted to. Now's the time to act and make sure that we can push through as much as possible and not leave it up to him to make, you know, to not make the decisions we want to make. So that's, you know, I understand that a little bit differently. And I think that's why there's an aggressive kind of push for this. And in terms of what people know, folks have to be curious. They have to want to go and learn about these things, right? And unfortunately, we have digital divides that keep us from being able to access information. We have issues with literacy, right? These are written by PhDs, right? A lot of these articles are written at high level kind of writing that can confuse people. I was reading them and it was even like, this is double speak. What are you talking about here? So I could see how it would confuse people who are not scholars, for example, right? And that's all done intentionally. And I just want people to be aware that there's so much we could dig into this, you know, and really try to understand what's going on.
Pastor?
Absolutely.
I do understand, too, that with this this election cycle, we're having trouble just getting people to get up and vote.
or be registered to vote,
You know, in Philadelphia, we've had an election last year, and even with 1.2 million people in, and a good million of them, you know, registered to vote, you know, it was less than 20% that actually went to the polls. And so when people are that apathetic, I don't know how we're going to be able to get them to care about this. If we can't even get them to care about making an informed decision on who you're supposed to choose that best represents your vision, your mission, and your values, what other ways are you able to get this message out? I know there's social media. I know that there are forums. Print doesn't seem to work. I don't know if there needs to be a national debate like there was with Vice President and former President Trump, where everybody's tuned in to really kind of hear about it. Because even after the debate, I asked three persons. I said, hey, what did you think? I said, what do you think about Project 25? And two out of three said, what's that? So there is a lack of education here. And I hear what you're saying, Doctor, about it being on the PhD level. But how can we simplify it to maybe a simple bulletproof or PSA or something where people will grip, you know, imagine, like in my creative mind, it's like, imagine if you're not getting a monthly check and you're a senior and you've worked all your life and there's no more Social Security. Mm-hmm. How will you survive? Sometimes you have to startle people into reality so that they then will kind of wake up and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Because that could become a real reality. Along those lines, what can we do for the non-scholars facing the apathy of even voting to get on board to understand this fully before I'm just not going to vote at all? Well, that's not an option.
Right.
Either.
That's definitely not an option, you know, because not voting is, well, we're not going to go there. But so, Pastor, let me just ask you a question really quickly.
Sure.
What do we tell our churches? Like, you know, how do you approach them in regards to Project 2025 without being so, you know, political. I'm not saying that, you know, you are one way or another, but how do we address, you know, the people of the church? How do, what do we do? What do we say? How do we inform them?
So that's a lot of questions about directly to the church, which is an older, more in most of the time, more engaged around voting than a younger audience that's not engaged at all. So I think, you know, with church people, they listen to a great deal to their pastors and to their leadership. So we were at Triumph Baptist Church yesterday, where Dr. Hall was very clear about this election is about dictatorship, about whether we'll have a democracy. He was very clear from the pulpit that voting is necessary because our democracy is on the ballot, as well as all of the other issues that Professor Taylor has mentioned. So when you have leadership doing those kinds of things, making those kinds of statements for church people, that's very helpful. The problem is, how do we talk about this in a way for people who are not engaged, not responsive? And I think we're making this into various different talking points. Dr. Hall was really just kind of focusing on the democracy piece of it, even though all of these other issues are there, as a way of how to get people to talk about it and think about it. That we need about three or four or five of these, which we hope this forum will provide for folks. Just four or five of these that are really highlighted to kind of crystallize the moment that we're in. That, yes, this has been a conservative movement that's been going on really since the beginning of our country, but certainly over the last 40 years. But this moment around it is an opportunity, they believe, to crystallize everything they always wanted to do.
So let me ask you this really quick.
I want you to hold that question.
Okay.
Was that helpful to answering your question?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that going around to the churches is absolutely key. Masjids, synagogues, wherever it is that people either exercise or don't, or choose not to exercise their faith. You know, barbershops, nail salons, whatever it is, we have to get to those same places where we're talking about voting that we also need to talk about in every area of our lives. I'm going to take a quick privilege and allow our sports talk, Terry, to break us up to speak, because sports is back in Philly. Y'all know I'm all about that. Good morning, Sports Talk, Terry.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Sports Talk, Terry, with your Philly Sports Minute. Philadelphia Eagles did something unprecedented. They defeated the highest power offense in the NFL through 2 weeks, the New Orleans Saints, coming and scoring 91 points through their first 2 weeks, were held to a paltry 12 points. The Eagles led mostly by Saquon Barkley's attack on the ground with 147 yards and two touchdowns. Go ahead and win 15-12. Also to note, Dallas Goedert, 10 catches, 170 yards. Post complained he wasn't getting the ball enough. He saw the ball a lot yesterday. However, also note some key injuries. You already have A.J. Brown out. The Eagles also lost Devontae Smith and Lane Johnson. So you're going to have to watch to see what happens with those injuries to the lineup as they get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this Sunday in Tampa, the same team who sent them home last year in the playoffs in embarrassing fashion. Also, the Philadelphia Phillies are still trying to find a way to go ahead and clinch that pennant in the NL East after losing two straight to the Mets 2-1. So we're going to have to see if they can go ahead and get that done, because people are anxious for them to go ahead and get that playoff spot points. They're wondering, hey, we're going to go ahead and get this done so we can start working on what's next up for us. So, the Philadelphia Phillies, unfortunately, have not been able to get done what they need to get done. They do start a series tonight against the Chicago Cubs, who pretty much have nothing to play for. So expect that to wrap up shortly. That's all I have right now for your Sports Talk Minute. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at Sports Talk Terry.
Thank you, Sports Talk Terry. Have a great day. Y'all know I'm crazy about Philadelphia sports, and now it's back. The Eagles, the Phillies, Sue, the Sixers, the Flyers. So we need to be up on that. Thanks for sharing that with us. So in continuing our conversation, Brother Marcus, you had a question.
Yes, and we're definitely going to be up on what's happening tonight at 6:30 p.m. tonight. I want both of you to reiterate where it's going to be, where the meeting is, the name of the meeting, and all that about 2025. I'll start with you, Pastor. Where is the location where people can get involved?
Well, the forum is called Project 2025 Impact Forum. It's a combination of the Coalition to Defend Democracy and the Philadelphia Masjid. It will be at the Philadelphia Masjid, 47th and Walusing Avenue in West Philadelphia. And it will start at 6:30. And Dr. Taylor will be one of our great panelists.
All right.
With Senator Sharif Street and Councilperson Nicholas O'Rourke. Michael Rashid, former commercial commerce department director, and others will be present as well. And it will be moderated by myself and Catherine Hicks, president of the NAACP.
Y'all got the heavy hitters. Y'all not playing tonight.
No, it's about to go down
in Philadelphia.
Let me tell you, if you get Senator Street stirred up, man, I heard him at an event not last week. I swore he had his Baptist, robe on three. Doctor, I mean, he went in and set that place on fire. So when you got him, and then you got Catherine, you got Hulsey, you got Taylor,
and
Lord
these
have
two,
mercy.
And these two that are on the show right
Lord
now.
Lord have mercy. It's
oh, I wish
get
I could be a fly
lit.
On the wall. It's about to go down. Because I believe that Dr. Taylor's trying to be real cool right now, but I think she's going to tear the place up tonight. And Pastor, I think you're going to pontificate like the Pope, and it's going to go down.
That is so funny because, you know, I this is so important, and I just wanted to really quickly speak to what you were saying earlier. Like, I saw a lot of fear mongering when this was coming out. And I was just like, wait, hold on. There's enough in this to be afraid of. Then, you know, we don't have to make things up, right? People were just like, oh my God, they're going to require that, you know, our kids go in the draft. I'm like, they're already required to go to the
exactly.
draft. Exactly. Like, you know, these are certain things that we have to parcel out for our people. I'm like, your kid's not signed up for the draft. Do you know that he can go to jail if he doesn't? Like, you know, it's these kinds of things that our people, there's a intentional disconnect, right? They've mm-hmm. always tried to marginalize us when it comes to education and things like that. So, you know, these kinds of events, going to, you know, faith houses, like you said, local places, social media is a big thing. I did a whole breakdown of Project 2025. I read the whole thing, you know, because I want to make sure that I can translate that for my people who cannot access it. So that's the kind of work that we have to just keep doing. And I want everybody to come out this evening, come meet us in person. Let's have these conversations so that way you can go back to your community and say, you know, I just learned, actually, here's what I learned. And this is what the truth is. And I want to make sure you all know. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone later.
I just got a text message where someone says they are not able to make it tonight. Will this be posted on a particular site? Is there a recording that's going to be going on so that they can then be linked in to see what they may miss in live?
Yes, there will be a recording happening. We're trying to get the details of it now. You can check my Facebook posts for sure, Gregory Holston on Facebook, and to make sure that you can be able to see it. And there may be other postings as well.
Let me ask you, I know you just gave out your information, but can you give out, like, how can people get in touch with you? Because we want people to be able to reach out, if that's all right, other than Facebook. So if you guys can both share, maybe your social media handles or something like that. I'll go with you, Doctor. We'll start with you, yes, and then we'll go back to the good reverend.
Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere under the moniker Feminista Jones, F-E-M-I-N-I-S-T-A, Jones, all one word. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Threads. I don't do much on TikTok, but I am on Facebook as well. It's Feminista Jones Official. I do a lot of stuff over there. So definitely come and check me out, follow. We have these conversations almost every day. We are talking about this election. We are talking about what's coming up. I do a series on YouTube. Oh, my YouTube channel, Political Theater with Dr. T. I go live and we discuss the rallies. We discuss the debates. We do all those things and bring people together to have these conversations so we stay up.
Awesome. And how about you, Pastor?
And you can get me at Holston Gregory on X and Gregory Holston on Instagram, as Gregory Holston on Facebook, and also our television program, Just Nation, the cable television program that talks about all of these issues as well. And you can get that through local Comcast cable access stations. No, we're on every Tuesday. 12 noon.
Y'all are definitely the dynamic duo. That's all I had to say. The dynamic duo of Philadelphia that's given that information that's going to set the record straight. We appreciate it.
As we wrap up, I'm thinking about a grandma great-grandma who's worked hard all of their lives, may not necessarily, they're a voter, they vote anyway, been faithful to that, and their plight if some of this is enacted. For those of us that have loved ones that we may be concerned to have put their time in and should be enjoying their latter years, how can we include them and upgrade them? Because they're not all on social media. And unless they're sitting up in their church on Sunday morning, they're like at Triumph Baptist Church, where Dr. Hall says you better, and they're going to listen to what their pastor say. How can we include those that are not in that group? Where I minister is a group of older folk. They're not belonging to a church. They're not in a senior center. They're not in a senior home, but they live on a little street for a house they pay for while taxes are going up because of the gentrification. How do we reach them? Do we have print for them? Is there mass mailing that's going out? What are other ways to reach those folks? Because my mom and dad will never be on social media, but he will read the Inquirer, the Tribune, and the Daily News every day until he went to heaven. He'd go to the stand and buy it and then sit and read
school,
it.
Old school.
Like, how do we also include them so that they can get this message?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you said old school, because my first thought is the old school street teams that would promote parties back in the 90s, right? They were literally street teams that were deployed with flyers to hand them out to people to stop and talk to them. And, you know, that's part of the get out the vote effort. But I think that we just need to have some community street teams of people who have talking points that, you know, they're easy to share, knocking on doors, literally talking to people, going to the block parties, going to the community meetings. I want to see, you know, the sororities and the fraternities are having their meetings and getting out into these streets, setting up tables on corners, right? Just where people are working, where they get their groceries, right? You can set up a table outside and just say, hey, would you like to learn more about that? That's the old school way. And that's one of the most effective ways. We have to get out of this voter apathy. We have to get people more invested. And that's the best way to do it, in my opinion, that person-to-person conversation.
Absolutely.
And members of the coalition include Unite Here, SEIU Healthcare, Philadelphia Neighborhood Networks, Free the Ballot. They're all knocking on doors right now, talking about election, talking about Project 2025. I think Unite Here has already knocked on a million doors in here in the city and in the region. And so those conversations are happening. Can we do it better? Can we say it better? That's one of the reasons for this forum, for all of us to kind of be able to do this better and be able to be more succinct in explaining the danger of Project 2025.
Well, I want to thank you. I could say Dr. Holston because he's an attorney as well. We got the doctors, dual doctors on here today, Dr. Holston and Dr. Taylor. Thank you so much for accepting my last minute invitation to come on the Bishop Mary Show. Certainly, we want to be in full support. And if any other events are coming up, you know to reach out. Ain't nothing but a holler and a phone call at your girl. And for my guest host, Brother Marcus, who's here, and the best engineer producer I have, my boy Matt, who is crazy about the Eagles. Amen.
He's eagled out right now.
He's eagled out. Amen. We want to thank you all for listening to us today. And certainly, if you want to get a recap, check us out on the podcast on the website of WWDB 860 AM. Until next time, we'll have another fabulous show during this election time. Vote, vote, vote is your voice. Listen to Bishop Mary. If you can't be good, be careful. If you can't be careful, don't do it, baby. It may not be worth it. Stay well, be blessed, and please take care of you. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.